Gratitude in worship. only one of the first five of these jet sets has no animal sex. There's no blood in this offering. And it is a God-instituted offering related to labor, to human work, the sweat of the brow. It looks back at Cain and it says, "You should have trusted me." And looks forward to any advocate for Cain to rebuke them. The grain offerings presented another side of God's great truth, personal dedication. It invited the work of human hands to come before the throne of God. Not to earn salvation, that certainly is coming. But I want you to first roast the grain. have business with the people as their leader on Earth. It goes back over the law, it covers a lot of tough things. There's some new things too. He says about, he says, God humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that the man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God, which by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. And that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at the offerer coming and saying, yeah, Lord, you've given me the food, but I'm worshiping you, the giver of life. As a burnt offering dedicated to life to God, the meal offering dedicated to the labors of our hands in gratitude to God. That everything we put our hands to fall under the work of God in our lives to His glory. Where does that show up in me? That's important. 1 Corinthians 10, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, that's what this is. As we put these offerings of the gospel, parables. And so let's dig into it. Verse 1. Leviticus 2. When anyone offers a grain offering to Yahweh, his offering shall be a fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense on it. Now, there, when anyone, that Hebrew word is the soul, it means any. Not gender specific, so, some of the pronouns here are masculine, but if they're not in there in the Hebrew, the translators put them in there to keep the flow. And we're happy they do. His offering shall be a fine flower. Again, that pronoun, not in the Hebrew. Now, fine flower parallels the unblemished animal of the burnt offering. Well, calls for investment, preparation, and time. We just grab the grain off, you know, just put a stalk in it, the seed offering seed, but this isn't that. You've got to beat that. Kernel down into fine powder. Again, in the wilderness, they had manna. They did not have farm fields yet. So they could beat the manna into fine flour. They could present that at the tabernacle which they had. But once they entered the promised land, then they could offer a first fruit offering, but they couldn't do that while they were wandering. So God was preparing them for the next phase. And the oil and the frankincense, in the Jewish mind, would belong to the anointing oil of the priest. The recipe. They could not duplicate the anointing oil's recipe and just use it, you know, hey, I really like the way this smells. But they still understood the significance of the oil and the frankincense. King Aaron's sons, the priests, one of whom shall take from it his handful of fine flour and oil with the frankincense, and the priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to Yahweh. Well, it is critical or imperative that when we think of the Old Testament and New Testament priesthood, that we understand there is absolutely no connection to Roman Catholicism. There's no connection, any more than there's a connection to the priest of God. That priesthood is in opposition to the Old and New Testament. Just the fact that the priest is saying, God, you don't talk to the dead. You just don't do it. And that's the commandment of God upheld in the New Testament. And so just to make that clear, if you go through these Old Testament studies and you're talking about the priesthood, especially with the Roman Catholic background, there's no connection. God's people, however, have to have clergy, they have to have spiritual leaders, spiritual shepherds. It's an inescapable mandate of God. It's unfortunate that some Christian groups or some Christian tribes to work around having to ask. Well, no question, Satan targets the pastor. They're place targets, you know, you can congregants can commit a sin and dealt with and pretty much that idea of the pastor does certain things. Oh man, it's devastating to the testimony of the church and to the people in the church. And so yeah, Satan targets the pastors, but because some pastors fail, there's no reason to fight to get around this mandate. He mentions here in verse 2 as a memorial. Well, there's your statement of gratitude, of thanksgiving. The words thank and think in the Anglo-Saxon language share the same root. They're connected. You refuse to thank it, you refuse to be grateful. Thoughtlessness and entitlement lead ignorance. And people who think about it, you know, man, I don't deserve that. I'm very grateful for it. They're easy to keep me around. It's not too just a few weeks ago that everything said. I held a door for someone and they just walked on through a smuggler. I wanted to kick them so bad. Just for a flash of sex. My thought was, I'm glad this person is not my neighbor. Who wants a neighbor like that? Anyway, back to verse 3. The rest of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to Yahweh made by fire. Well, this meant that this offering could only be eaten by the priest. We'll get that in chapter choose to die with a possibility I'm going to bless others also. Luke 10 verse 7, Jesus said the laborer is worthy of his wages. Paul leans in on that. Well, firstly, he repeats it, applying it to the pastors here in the church. Verse 4, and if you bring as an offering a grain offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. But if your offering is a grain offering baked in a pan, it shall be a fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. Verse 6, you shall break it in pieces and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. Verse 7, if your offering is a grain offering baked in a covered pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. So, there you have some options. And the hard work is involved in all of these. And again, that's with the animal sacrifices. They would be making these meals for themselves. Also, the leaven mentioned here, of course, represents corruption, the influence of evil, and that metaphor carries in the First Testament, Word and New. It is prohibited from all the offerings by fire, which this is one. Because again, there were other offerings, slave offerings, heat offerings, you could bring in leaven. But the idea is God does not want offerings from a leavened heart. This way over to us in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 9. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly. There's your leaven. Or of necessity, your leaven. For God loves a cheerful man. He wants an unleavened donation. You know, it's not like he's the one going to help the church out. That's not the kind of person that helps the church. The one that says, I'm worshiping the Lord. What's going to be a help? You got to understand, we need each other. We help each other. But it's the heart. And so, yeah, doing something for the Lord is well-motive. You may be offering something with leaven, but it does not belong. Christ hard work. Oh, what is hard work? Right?
Thank you.
again, not all the sacrifices were either one or two. The trespass offering will not find that phrase attached to that offering, which is in the gift of liberty, then. But devotion, gratitude, peace to the Lord, made by fire, purifying energy, becomes a gift of judgment and use of fire in this offering. Purification, as I mentioned, what the things they picked up in Syria and Canaan and Egypt had to be burned out first, and God is filling the void, because we know Turn over to people. That's the idea. Now, that's the question. You want God to have more control in the world? I don't want government to have more control in my life unless it's God's government. In fact, the name is governed by God. We have songs on more power, more love, more of you in my life. Yeah, I'm good. You take as much control of me as you want. It would be my request, personally. And so, here we have God controlling how the Jews were to approach him. And God the people, they line up with it. When you want me to stand, I'll do it. Versus the rebel, I'm gonna do it my way. See what happens. Verse 13. And every offering of your grain offering shall season the salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. The salt is the opposite of leaven. Leaven changes its environment. Salt preserves or works to preserve its environment. Leaven in itself is not corrupt before God, only in symbolic benefit. There's no dietary restriction on the Jews for leaven food. You're not supposed to eat taxes. You have left. There are rules, of course, you know that. Salt, limited it appears to the grain offering, that's the only one that's been mentioned. And the grain offering was of the earth. So it's salt. Thank you. own man. Just take a wrench and throw it at something and break it on me. I remember that. No, I don't have. So you keep these guys busy, and it's not just for young men. I want to, playing with matches. Anyhow, verse 14. If you offer a grain offering of your first fruits to Yahweh, you shall offer for the grain offering of your first fruits 3 heads of grain roasted on the fire, grain beaten from 2 heads. Verse 15, you shall put oil on it, lay frankincense on it, it is a grain offering. Verse 16, then the priest shall burn the memorial portion, part of its beaten grain, part of its oil, with all the frankincense as an offering made by fire to Yahweh. So the roasted, the dry fire. What is meant by a dry fire is you don't put fat or oil on it. So just to review the grain offering, presentation at the altar, 1 of 5. So you have the fine flour, you have the oven, cake, griddle, the pan covered, and finally the roasted grain. So that's chapter 2. Now we come to Leviticus chapter 3. You think we can make it to chapter 3? I don't have any notes. Leviticus chapter 3. Now we come to the peace offering. So, moving past the meal offering, offering of gratitude, we come to this one of peace, which is fellowship. You can't walk together unless you agree. All of these things are shadows of the reality of Christ. The whole burnt offering, which expresses personal devotion to God. So the Jews, even before Messiah, they take the offering just covered in chapter 2, and this personal fellowship with God, personally. And we say that, well, you have a personal relationship with God, if not, why not? And if you do, which God is, and if it is, the name that God, where'd you get him? And what evidence do you have that he is the God that you say he is? So, when I look at the peace offering, I say to myself, may I not? walking by and they saw you come to this portion of your track dedication, they would see a flesh in your hand or that sheep or that ox, whatever you were offering. And you were thereby dependent upon the sacrifice of your sin by leaning your weight on this animal. These are, of course, the types of the innocent victim to come. The Christ is the ultimate innocent victim who paid the penalty to denounce sin. Fatty load attached to the liver of blood to the kidneys, stuff to say about all these things, and find this description has been made and easier. Well, the animal is slaughtered by the one bringing the animal. The animal is butchered by the one bringing the animal, but ultimately it is offered by the priest. And the fat portions, primarily from around the organ, what he's talking about, including the entrails, the liver, and the kidneys. Consumed by the fire, they want to be eaten. And there are underlying health benefits to that. However, the fat attached to the muscle, to the meat, the nutrition.
Oh,
Sorry, it's more practical. It's practical things in walking, of course. It's not enough meat to go around for a scholarship offer, which is the piece if you wanted to just have the whole animal consumed, then you do the whole world. But if you want to share in this, and I feel the Lord, then you do this. Again, voluntary, verse 9. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering, as an offering made by fire to Yahweh, the fat, and the whole fat tail, which he shall remove, close to the backbone, and the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails. Well, we got that. Evidently, the meat of choice, I've read, is some oriental fat tails of sheep. Because I don't have sheep have fat tails. And this one, some of them are said to weigh 15 pounds. That's the one that has been burned up. Anyway, the priest would receive from this offering the breast and the like thigh, like 7. Verse 10 now, two kidneys, the fat that is on them by the flank, and the fatty lobes attached to the liver of both the kidneys, you shall remove. So the victory continues, but the kidneys, as I mentioned, you have to go to deeper meaning. Kidneys have a deeper meaning. First meaning is the origin of kidneys. That's number one. But the second, the figurative language applied in scripture, state of mind and the heart. It is used as identity words. It's considerably Hebrew used of this word. Job chapter 19 verse 27 is a favorite verse. Speaks about, you know, my Redeemer lives. He goes on to say, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, how my heart shall worship him. Just as I think, how my heart yearns within me. So what is it? It's like, you know, when we say, you know, when the heart went out to me, well, we heard the heart thing, because it didn't finish the sentence. So these expressions, they're meaningful, and they're showing up here in whatever meaning. The idea that, you know, the kidneys, the offering is, and the worshiper is saying, I'm pouring my heart into this offering. Because what use is the tree of the kidney? Yeah, go take it to a doctor. That attitude doesn't find any place in what Moses is talking. Let's take another. Psalm 73. Thus my heart was grieved and I was vexed in my mind is hidden, the same word. Jews reading these things, they understood this is getting deep into me. Psalm 23 verse 16, yes, my innermost being, there it is, hidden. But he's not talking about the Lord. He's talking about these things that are yes, my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Just say that to somebody, that I'll be very happy when they hated him, they tried to kill him on multiple occasions. Well, finally it all happened. Just as he prophesied. The city was destroyed. And the lamentation is the product outpouring of how devastated he was. Well, in the second chapter, he says, my eyes fail with tears because of trouble. My smile is the word. My life is hidden. My violence poured on the ground because of the destination of the water of the country. And so as we do in our life, we certainly have to look for the context of what's going on, and we get it. God is emphasizing his word to me. Talking about fact is given the best and deepest part of our faith in worship. Why should we get the same that when we come to worship the Lord and we hold our hands up and we're worshiping him sincerely, why should we get the same? We're the only ones that can express such a thing. Sacrifice to Christ. And if Christ didn't die for us, our level of worship towards him would not be the same. The apostles, they worshiped him. Before he died, without realizing who he was, stopped the weather. That was effective for the first shifting. And then once he rose again, they worshipped him. But it was a whole deeper understanding after the resurrection. Verse 11. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as food and an offering made by fire to the Lord. So the fire on the altar is the fire that cooked the meat. That's what he cooked as food. The fire that cooked the meat. Not to undercook it or overcook it. They would know what they were doing. Anyway, so angry, I overthought so much. I don't get it. If somebody likes cornflakes a lot, I wouldn't judge them. And if they went to a high-class restaurant to try to get a cornflakes, he would be judged. I would say, you know what? And if his offering is a goat, then he shall offer it before Yahweh, the Supreme. He shall lay his hand on his head, kill it before the tabernacle of meeting, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle his blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer with his offering of summit his offering, and the offering made by fire to Yahweh, the fact that he covers the entrails and all the fat that he's on. Now, there are going to be places as we go through the verses that we're going to skip, so, but we're not there yet. The fat that is on them, or the flank, fatty load, attached to the liver, or the kidney, he shall remove. Very clear instructions, there goes the thing. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire to the woman. All the fat is Yahweh. So he gets the fat, and the people will get the meat. Fat and the blood belong to the God. Fat from the organs belong to God. Again, fat from the meat of the people. But it had to be consumed no more than 2 days. We'll get to some of those tips and turns in chapter 7. Verse 17, this shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and all your dwellings ye shall eat either fat nor blood. Big problem in the early church. You know, they're raised that way. No way I'm eating that. And the Gentiles, you know, come in with a medium rare bird and a lie. That's all it is. Have a bite. And it became a problem. And the apostles, rightfully in the leading of the Holy Spirit, just asked the Gentiles to come to that. I will never again eat meat. But you could. All things are helpful. All things are